The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Chayesola. In this week's Parsha, we learn about the Nesu'ei Rivka, marriage of Rivka to Yitzchok. Let's study this Parsha this evening and with a few observations and see what we can learn from it. At the end of Parsha's Vayera, it states, Vayi acherei adborim ha'ela, and after these things took place, and it's referring to the Akedah Yitzchok, when Abraham was commanded to sacrifice his son. Vayugad la'avram le'mor. And it was told to Avram, saying, Hinei yol de Milka gam hi bonim lenochor ochicho. The Milka has also given birth to sons to Nochor, your brother. Abraham had two brothers, Horon and Nochor. At the end of Parshas Neach, the Torah tells us that Horon died, and Vayikach Avram v'Nochor lehem noshim, and Abraham and Nochor took wives, and the wife of Nochor was Milka. And then Vayikach Terech es Avram b'nei ves Leit ben Horon, and then Terach took Avraham and Leit and Sorah, and they left Ur Kasdim. So now, the Torah tells us that Milka, the wife of Nochor, the brother of Avraham, gave birth to sons. Es Utz Becherev, Es Buzochi, Es Kumeel Avi Aram, Es Kesev, Es Chazoi, Es Pildosh, Es Yidlov, Es Besuel. One of the names of the sons was Besuel. Besuel Yolades Rivka, and Besuel gave birth to a daughter Rivka. So he had eight sons. Shmeinayla yold Milka lenochachi Avraham. These eight sons, Milka gave birth to Nochor, the brother Avraham. Rashi tells us, what does it mean by hiachrei advorim ha'ela? B'shuva mahar meriyah Avraham mahar ve'ela. When Avraham returned from Har Moriah, where he was commanded to sacrifice Yitzchok, so he started to think, Ilo haya bini shochut kfar haya heilech b'leiboni. My son Yitzchok was almost shechted. Had he been shechted, I would have no sons. Haya li la'asir li ishoy. It's time, therefore, that I must take a wife for him. Honor Eshkol Mamre, and he decided he would take a wife from Honor Eshkol Mamre. Who were these three? These were three people that the Torah tells us were Bali Bris Avraham. They lived in Canaan, they were Canaanim, but Avraham had made a covenant with them. And therefore, when he went to war, with the war of the four kings and the five kings, they were involved. And also at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, it states, Vayera Elov Hashem be'Elenei Mamre, that Hashem came to visit Avraham in Elenei Mamre. This was their territory. Entley Avraham had discussed about the Bris Milo with Mamre, since he was about Bris. They had made a covenant together, and he didn't want to do anything without telling him about it first. And since he was involved, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit Avraham in the territory of Mamre. So Avraham felt that I better take a wife for my son. And he thought he would take from the people, from these people, from Omer Eshkel of Mamre. Bisrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu announced to Avraham, Shenolda Rivka Bazuge, that Rivka, the Bas Zugai, the destined mate for Yitzchok, was born. This is what it means. After these words, after Hirhurei Dvorim, what Abraham was thinking after the Akedah. Then Hased starts, Vayul Chayisore Meyashone, Vesrim Shona, Visheva Shonim Shnei Chayisore. And Sora lived to be 127 years old. But Thomas Sora be Kiris Arba hi Hebron beretz Canaan, and Sora died in Kiris Arba, which is Hebron in Canaan. And Abraham came, Lispel the Sora, the Leif Kaiser. Abraham came to be masked Sora, to eulogize Sora, and to weep for her. What is the Smichais Aparshais? Why did the Torah place these two subjects right next to each other? So the Medrash tells us, I think we went into length of this last year, so we'll just mention it. The Medrash, right at the beginning of the Parsha, brings a pasuk from Kehelis, which states, "Bezorach Hashemesh uba Hashemesh." The sun will shine, and the sun will set. "Bezorach Hashemesh uba Hashemesh." The sun will shine. The sun will shine, and the sun will set. What does it mean? What does it mean that the sun will shine, the sun will rise, and the sun will set? This is in Kehelis, a pasuk from Shlomo HaMelech, from King Solomon, the wisest of all men. We don't need the wisest of all men to tell us that the sun will rise and the sun will set. He must be want to tell us something more than that. So he is. He's saying that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, the sun will not set before it rises. First the sun will rise, then it will set. Light will not disappear from the world before it is replaced beforehand. What does he mean? Now he's telling us a chokhmah, something very wise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not extinguish a light from this world until he has created a new light to replace it beforehand. That's what it means. V'zorach Hashemesh uvah Hashemesh. Kedem bias Hashemesh. Before the light goes out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that a new light is here already. And the Medrash brings many examples. Actually, Yashkia HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shimshe Shel Tzadik Zeh Mazriach Shimshe Shel Tzadik Chaver Yem Shemes Rebbe Kiva Neile Rabbeinu. On the day that Rebbe Kiva, the great Rebbe Kiva, died, and this was the extinction of such a great light in Israel, on that day Rebbe Yehuda Anossi was born already. So Rebbe Yehuda Anossi was born before the light of Rebbe Kiva was extinguished. Yim Shemes Rabbeinu Neile Revad Barabo. On the day Rebbe Yehuda Anossi died, Revad Barabo already was born. Yim Shemes Revad Barabo Neile Revadin. On the day Revad Barabo died, Revadin was born. And so forth. The Medrash gives us countless examples. We see it by Meshon Yeshua, that Meshon didn't leave the world until first he anointed. He gave smicha to Yeshua. So there'll be a light always in the world. So the Medrash says, that's what we see by us. Ad shelei hishkia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shimshe shel Sora, before the light of Sora was extinguished from the world, his riach shimshe shel Rivka. The light of Rivka came into the world. First the Torah tells us that Milka gave birth to sons who gave birth to Rivka, and afterwards by Yuchai Sora Meoshono, that saw the days of Sora were 127. So this is the reason for the Smichas Parshas, why these two parshas are written right together. Sora was a light in the world, a tremendous light, because Sora was Sora and the wife of Abraham, and she was great both in her own stead, in her own schus, and she was great because she was the wife of Abraham. In some way she was even greater than Abraham. Sages tell us that in Nevuah and prophecy she was greater. And there were many things that she said and Abraham didn't want to agree to, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shema Bekola, you must listen to her. And she was from the Imos, the first of the Imos. And as we see in our Parsha, she was buried in Moras Machpelah. She was the first of the obvious Imos to be buried in the cave of Machpelah. So before this great light would leave the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to ensure there would be another light in the world. Bezorach HaShemesh uVo'a HaShemesh, before the sun sets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the light of the sun. And therefore, the Torah first tells us of the birth of Rivka. And this gives us an idea also of how great Rivka was, that she was capable of replacing this light from Sora. Then, the Sedra tells us, and this is in Perechov Dalet, Posuk Aleph, V'Avraham Zokein Bo Bayomim. And Avraham was old, and he was well into his days, V'Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. And Hashem blessed Avraham with everything. What does it mean with everything? Rashi says, Bakol Eile Begematri Ben. Bakol has the numerical value, same numerical value as Ben. Ben, which means the son. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him with a son, which means everything. And now that he had a son, now he had to think about a shidduch, about marrying a wife for him. So therefore the Torah starts to go into this parsha. Why is it that because he had a son, he had everything? Is the son everything? So the Maral in his Guraya explains very well that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham all of the brochas, that your nation will be a mighty nation, your seed will be a mighty seed, your seed will be blessed, all of the nations of the world will bless you, and your name will go throughout the entire world, and so forth and so on. Without a son, these brochas were meaningless. This is what Avraham told Hashem. What give me Uben Meshik Besi Yerishesi, when my servant is going to be the one who will inherit me? Now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a ben, so now he had everything. Because this gave significance now to all of the brochas. So that's what it means that Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. Vayom Avraham El Avdei Zekan Beisei Ameshu B'chol Asheleh. So he said to his faithful servant Eliezer, who was the elder of his house, and Ameshul Bechol HaShelei, and who ruled over everything of his. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Yuma that the fact that he was called a Zekan Beisei, a Zokin, and a Zokin doesn't usually only mean someone who's old, but it also means someone who's wise, that Eliezer not only was a servant, not only a faithful servant, but also a great tzaddik and a talmid chacham. He was very wise in the Torah of Avraham. And Ameshul Bechol HaShelei, that he even ruled over the Torah of Avraham Avinu. He also would teach Torah. So Avraham called him, Simno yod chotaches yerechi, place your hand under my thigh, Vash biacho b'ashem elekei ha-shamayim elekei ha-oretz, and I make you take an oath by the name of the God of the heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take for my son a daughter from the daughters of the Canaanim, those that I dwell amongst. You should go back to my land, to my birthplace. And there you shall take a wife for my son Yitzchok. In other words, you should go back. Avraham came. Later on, Rashi explains on the posuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took me out from the house of my father and the house of my birth. May base of you, may eris malarity. So Rashi explains this means two places: from the house of my father, that was Chorun; from the house of my birth, that was Ur Kasdim. Avraham was born in Ur Kasdim, which the Gemara says is Babel, Babylonia, that was in the area of Iraq. And then Terach decided to leave, and he went to the city of Choron. And then from there, Avraham came to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, you should go back there. It seems that Nochor, never went to Choron, because what we quoted before from the end of the Parshas Noach is that Avraham, and he took Lot, but he didn't take his son Nochor. So it seems Nochor remained in Ur Kasdim, which was Iraq. Later on we see Eliezer went to Aram Naraim. Aram Naraim is in that area. Aram Naraim, Rashi tells us it was called that because it's a city where two rivers meet. And in Iraq, in the area of Persian Gulf, you have cities there where two rivers meet. And these two rivers where they meet traditionally, the people there have by tradition that this was Abraham's home. So he said, go back there. And the servant said, Ulai le seva isha, lelecha sacharai ala oras azeis. Perhaps, if I'll go back to your family back there, maybe the young lady won't agree to come after me to this land. So should I return your son to that land in order to get married? Avraham said, guard yourself, lest you return my son there. You shall not return my son there. The God of the heaven that has taken me out of that land, and he has sworn to give my seed this land, he will send an angel before you, and you will be able to find a wife for my son. Then Avraham said, but if she refuses to come after you, then I will not hold you to the oath that you must find a wife from there, but you should not return my son there. And Rashi tells us on that posuk that if you cannot find, if she will not come with you, so what should you do? Then you can take a daughter from Oner Eshkol Mamre. These were the friends of Avraham here. And he brings this from a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Samach Aleph. Now we see two things from here. Firstly, Avraham did not want that a wife should be taken for Yitzchok from these daughters. He said, do not take a wife from the daughters of Canaanim, which I hear. That was one objection Avraham had, one kipeda. A second objection, he didn't want Yitzchok to go back there. When Eliezer said, all right, you want a wife from your family, but what happens if she doesn't want to come here? Can I bring Yitzchok there? He said, no. He said, you shall not return my son there. So we see he had two objections here. Why? Now the reason why he did not want Yitzchok to go back, that we could give two reasons. One reason we could give is because we find something by Yitzchok that we do not find by any of the other Ovis. And that was, Yitzchok never went out of Eretz Canaan, out of Eretz Yisrael. He never left Eretz Yisrael. We see this later on, when there was a famine in the land. And this is at the beginning of Toldos. There was a famine in the land. Vayelech Yitzchok el Avimelech Melech Plishtim Groro, and Yitzchok was going to Groro. Vayera Alav Hashem Vayema Alteri Misroima, and Yitzchok was thinking of going down to Egypt like his father Avraham did during the famine. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, do not go down there. Shein Boretz Asher Emar Elecho, live in this land which I will tell you to. Yitzchok never went out of Eretz Yisrael, and there Rashi explains why. Because Ato Eile Temima, Yitzchok had a greater kedusha in a degree than the other Ovis, because he was an Eilat Mima, he was a sacrifice. The fact that he was brought up as a sacrifice on Har Moriah, this was Mekadishim, this sanctified him with a kedusha Yisera, with a higher level of kedusha. And since he was an Ola Tamimo, therefore he was not allowed to go out of Eretz Yisrael. We find such a halacha. That if you have a korban, a sacrifice, it has certain boundaries where it must be kept in. It must be kept in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. If it's taken out, so then it becomes disqualified. Or some korbanos must be kept in the city of Yerushalayim. If it's taken out, it becomes disqualified. So this was the same thing with Yitzchok. Avraham left Eretz Yisrael. First of all, he wasn't born in Eretz Yisrael. Even after he came to Eretz Yisrael, he went to Egypt. And Yaakov was to go back. Actually, on this pasuk, where Avraham said, he said to Eliezer, "Rak es b'ni le'soshev shama." Only my son, do not return there. What does it mean, only? So Avraham said that Yitzchok must not return there. Yaakov will go back. Jacob will go back, but not Yitzchok. So Yaakov also went out of Eretz Yisrael, but Yitzchok never went. So that's one reason that we can give why he didn't want him to go back. But there perhaps is another reason. It seems that he had an objection for Yitzchok to go back there. He said, "He's not returned my son there." In other words, he wasn't only worried that he would go out of Eretz Canaan; he didn't want him to go there. And we could say, because when Avraham was commanded, "Lech lecho mi'atzecho, u'mimalaratecho," go out of your land, in your birthplace, Avraham was commanded to go away from there. We could ask a question: why did Avraham send Eliezer? Why didn't Avraham go himself? He could have gone himself to look for a wife in Yitzchok. It's a mitzvah of the father. The Mishnah and Kiddushin tells us. So this could be the reason. Because when Avraham was commanded, "Lech lecho," and the reason was he was commanded to entirely separate himself from his beginnings. Separate yourself from Terah. Separate yourself from your father's house, from the place where you were born. Because that represented darkness, that represented a past. And Avraham represented a new beginning. He was the Reishis Ha'or, the beginning of the light, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that there should be no bond whatsoever between these two eras. So therefore Avraham wouldn't go back, and he felt therefore his son must also not go back. Even though we find Yaakov went back. The Gemara tells us many times there's a difference between a son and a grandson. Bro kare dabur. A son many times carries the same responsibilities as the father, but not a grandson. So there could be a second reason why he did not want Yitzchok to go back, because that was the land HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to leave. Now we see there was a second objection that Abraham had. And that was that Yitzchok should not marry from the Bnei Saktanim. He should not marry from the daughters of the land of Canaan. We could ask, what was his objection? During this time, there were no Jews. A Jew is someone that came from Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So there were no Jews. They were all Bnei Noach. They all had the status of the children of Noach. When Avram went around to be Megaya Gerim, to convert people, he didn't make them into Jews. He made them into righteous children of Bnei Noach. He taught them the seven mitzvahs. The 613 mitzvahs were not given yet. It was to come. This was to be the seed of Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So therefore, what's the difference if it's these Bnei Noach or others Bnei Noach? Maybe you'll say that the Canaanim were Roshoim, the people that lived in Eretz Canaan, they were evil people, which was true. But what was so better then about the family of Nochar and the family of Terach? They also were idolaters. They also were not tzaddikim. So why did Avraham Dafke want that he should take a wife from there and not from here? The answer to that we find in Rashi. And that is, later on, when Eliezer comes and he's telling over the story of what happened to the parents of Rivka. So he says, Ulai, perhaps the daughter will not want to come back with me. And the sages say that he had an ulterior motive when he said this. Ulai, he was thinking Eli. Perhaps she will not come back, and therefore you can make a shidduch with Yitzchok and my daughter. Eliezer was interested in making the shidduch. And that's why when he said Ulai, he meant Eli. And the Ulai, which is written later on, is spelled without a vav, which means Eli, to me. So this was a good answer. This was a good proposal. Eliezer was interested himself in having Yitzchok as a son-in-law. And Eliezer felt, what's the difference? Say, what's the difference between my family and between Nochor's family? Nochor is such a great tzaddik. They were Eved Avedah Zorah, they were idolaters. Eliezer was a Talmid Chacham. So it was a good proposal. And this is what Eliezer thought. He didn't say it explicitly, but this is what he thought. So Avraham told him, B'ni Borch, Va'ato Or, Ve'ein Oro, Midove Midvak B'Borch. He said, no, that won't make a good shidduch. Because my son is Boruch, is blessed, and your children are cursed. And you can't make a shidduch between people who are blessed and people who are cursed. What did Avraham mean? Because my family comes from Shem. Leah had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. And my family comes from Shem. And your family, Eliezer, they come from Canaan. And Canaan was the son of Chom. And after the flood, when Noach went and he planted a vineyard and he became drunk and he fell asleep, and then Chom and his son Canaan committed a great act against Noach, a very terrible act against Noach. And when Noach realized what happened, he cursed them. And Shem, that came and covered up Noach, he blessed them. Boruch Shem. So Shem carries a brocha, he and his seed. While Chom carries a curse. And the curse was in particular in relation to Chom and his seed Canaan. So therefore Avraham said, you cannot make a shidduch, you cannot make a marriage out of two partners when one is Boruch and one is Orr. Therefore he says you can't accept it. Therefore he said, go back to my family Nochor. Because Nochor, they come from Shem. So at least they come from a Shadish, from a Soros, that's Boruch. Now, this is why the Oves always were concerned that their wives should come from that family. And they didn't want from the Bnei Sakanan. The Maral explains in the Gorai that this was a concern of theirs only in the Binyan Habayis, only in the building of the house of Israel, the foundations, which were Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. Because when they came to build the house of Israel, and that was the house which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a brocha to, he said that you shall be blessed from all of the families of the world. So how can there be a brocha in the house of Israel if you have seed there that carries an order or curse? Therefore they were concerned that all of their shidduchim should come from the family of Shem. But later on, they no longer were concerned. This was only in the foundation of the house. Once the foundation was established, then there was no difference. As long as the person was a good person, someone that was roi, fit for the shidduch, then there was no difference. That's why we find that Avraham's wife came from Shem, Sora was from Terech's family, and Yitzchok's wife was Rivka, came from Shem, and Yaakov also went back there to take a wife. And but when it came to the Shvatim, to the 12 sons, there's a machlekes, an argument in the Gemara, whether they took also wives from the family of Shem, or if they took wives from the Bnei Saknani, from the daughters of Canaan. Because there already the house was established. The Beis Yisrael was established, so perhaps it was not necessary anymore to take only from the house of Shem. That's why there's a machlekes there. Now we can also understand something else here. Incidentally, by Yosef, that Yosef served not only as one of the Shvatim, but he also was considered one of the Oves. His wife was from Shem. Because who did he marry? He married Osnas Bas Potiphera. And Osnas, that would seem it would be a Mitzrish from Egypt. The Chazal tell us that really was the daughter of Dino. So therefore he had a daughter from the house of Shem. This also explains to us then that when Eliezer came to Rivka's family and he made the proposal, so he said, tell me, if you're interested, then say yes. If you're not, tell me no. And I'll be able to know whether to go either to my right or my left. And Rashi explains, what does that mean? I'll go to the right, which are the sons of Yishmael, or I'll go to my left, which are the children of Lot. Now there also was good, because Yishmael came from Abraham, and Lot was from the family of Terach. So again, he was limiting his opportunities to this family. The only question we can ask is that Avraham told him that in case you cannot find anyone, then you can come back here and take from the daughters of Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Now Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre, they were Canaanim. Why then was he permitting him to take from the Canaanim if there was no one else? So Anet the Gurayi writes, it's true they were Canaanim, but since they were Balei Bris of Avraham, they had made a covenant with Avraham, then they would be included in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. He said, Vavrocho Mevoracheka, I will bless all of those who bless you. There's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that Yisrael, they are blessed because they received the Birchus Kahanim. The Kahanim blessed them. But who blesses the Kahanim? It's a Gemara Masechta Chulin. Israel receives brachas from the Kahanim, from the priests. This is how you shall bless Israel. But where do the Kahanim receive their brachas from? So the Gemara says the Kahanim received their brachas from here. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'avorcho mevorachecho, that whoever will bless you, I shall bless. Whoever will curse you, I shall curse. From here we learn that if you give a bracha to Avraham or to a seed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a bracha. So since the Kahanim bless Israel, they're blessing Avraham's seed. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a bracha. Incidentally, from here we should learn that when you give a bracha to another Jew, it shouldn't be held lightly in your eyes. Because that's Be'avorcho Mevarechecho. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whoever will bless Avraham's seed, I will bless him. Therefore, whenever you give a bracha to another Jew, you receive a bracha from Hashem. Since Ona, Eshkol, and Mamre were Balei Bris, they made a covenant with Avraham, so they were now people who blessed Avraham. Therefore, the curse that they had now was neutralized because they had a bracha. So therefore Avraham felt, did he ever, if he cannot find a shidduch for Yitzchok any other place, he'll take from Ono Eshkol and Mamre. Even though they're from Canaan, and they had this curse from Nayach, but now they have a bracha from Hashem. Because they made a peace covenant with Avraham, and they were the ones who supported now Avraham and blessed Avraham, therefore they would receive a bracha from Hashem. So therefore, he was willing to take a shidduch from there. We might ask, so then what was the matter with Eliezer? Eliezer for certain, he must have had a bracha, he certainly was from the good friends of Avraham. So he answers, but we see that the curse was not neutralized in Eliezer. Why? Because the main curse that Noach gave to his seed is ever avodim yelomai, that they will be slaves. They will be slaves to the other people. This is the curse that Noach gave to Chom and his children. And Eliezer was a slave. So we see the curse was not neutralized. Therefore, Avraham held from him, he could not take a shidduch. We perhaps can understand a little, perhaps, a Rambam with what we're saying. The Rambam, at the end of Kerek Yud Beis of Yisuri Diyah, the Rambam brings that the Gemara says there are four nations. Every nation can convert themselves and become Jews if they accept Torah and mitzvahs and milah and tefillah b'mikveh. They become Jews. Once they become Jews, they're allowed to marry anyone in Klal Yisrael except the Kohen, with the exception of four nations. And these four nations are Mitzri, the Egyptians, Amen, Mayav, and Edom. These four nations. Because the Torah was barachic, these four nations. Torah distanced these four nations. They did not want these four nations to marry within the center of the community of Israel. Some after a few generations can. Others can never. This is the Gemara tells us. The Rambam says that Kishola Sancheiriv Melech Ashur, Sancheiriv the king of Ashur, Bilbo Kola Umes, he mixed up all of the nations. He exiled all the nations from one place to the other when he controlled them. Yirvim Zeb Zevi Higlei Samim Keman. So to the point where today he says the Egyptians that live in Egypt are not Egyptians anymore. They're Noshim Acherim, other people. And same thing with the Edomim. They live in Edom, they're not Edomim anymore. So since these four nations have become totally confused and mixed with all of the other nations, so today when a person comes and he wants to convert himself, and he does, then we have a klal called Aperish Meruba Porish, that we go after Rav. We say then that we don't know whether he's from all of the nations in the world or these four nations. So we go after the majority. The majority are the rest of the nations. Therefore, we say he's from the rest of the nations. And Bizman Azer, therefore today, Bechol Mokim, in all places, anyone who converts can marry into the central part of Klal Yisrael. So he writes, Bein Edomi, Bein Mitzri, Bein Ameni, Bein Me'ovi. Whether he's from Edom, whether he's an Egyptian, whether he's from Amen, whether he's from Me'ov. Then he adds, Bein Kushi, or whether he's Kushi. Kushi with the blacks, or Bein Shara Umos, or any of the other nations. Mutorin Lovin Bekalmiya. They're allowed to marry into the Klal Yisrael immediately if they have converted according to the halacha. The question is, what does he add the Kushim for? These four nations, we understand there would be a reason why not. But why does he add the Kushim? So perhaps we could say that, because maybe you would say that since the Kushim, they were one of the sons of Chom. Chom had four sons, and one was Canaan and one was Kush. So perhaps you would say, since they carry this klola, this Oror, I might think, therefore you're not allowed to let them marry into Klal Yisrael. So that's why he tells this Kushi. Alright, this perhaps would be what the Rambam means. But there's still what to discuss on that. But perhaps that would be an interpretation. Thank you. Then the Torah tells us Eliezer got ready for his journey. Vayika, however, asore gemalim migmale ahadona vayelech v'chol tuv adona biyode. So he went and he took 10 camels and he filled the and camel drivers and he filled the camels full of the best of his master and biyode. He took it in his hand. What does he mean? He took it in his hand. Avraham wrote to Eliezer, he wrote to Yitzchok a document that he gives Yitzchok everything he owns, and he put that in the hand of Eliezer, so Eliezer will be able to show them what he has, and it will be an incentive for the young lady to come. And he went to the city of Aram Naraim. This is the city on the two rivers, which was the city of Nochor. Incidentally, why did he take 10? The Ragachov writes he took 10 for a minyan, because he was planning on making Birchas Erusin. So he was going to make Birchas Erusin, and the Gemara says you need a minyan for Birchas Erusin. He wanted to make a chuppah, he was going to be Makadish there, make the Kedushin there. So therefore he took 10. When he came outside the city, and there was a Ber Maim and an Oasis, and it was time for everyone to come and draw water for the sheep. So he said, Ta'akodesh Borcho. He was wondering, how will I know if this is the right girl? Now, he only gave me, Avraham only made one condition, that she must be from his family. See, that was the condition. Go back to my city and my family. But even if she's from the family, I mean, the family was full of the Shoyim, of evil people. We take Rivka's brother, Lovan. Lovan we take, right? Was from the family. Or her father, Bisuel. They were evil people. So it wasn't sufficient that she's from the family. So how will I know that this is the right wife for Yitzchok? So he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, this is what I'll do. The daughters of the city are coming, Lishev Moim, to draw water. I will come to a young girl, and I will say, please tip your jug so I might drink. And if she will say, she say, yes, go drink. V'gam gemalecha ashkeh. And also your camels I will give water to. Eise hechach telav dechol Yitzchok avo eida ki asiso chesed im adani. So then this will be a proof that this is the one for Yitzchok, my master. For your servant Yitzchok. And then I will know that you are doing kindness with my master. This is what he said. Why did he decide to do this? He was testing. He was making a test. See, why did he decide to use this as a test? Rashi tells us he was going to test her with Gemilas Chesed, with an act of Chesed. And if she succeeded, then Rui Hi Leishet Gemilas Chesedim. It's befitting for Yitzchok to have a wife that's a Gemilas Chesed. And then she'll be befitting to enter into the house of Avraham. Avraham was the Amud HaChesed, he was the pillar of Chesed. He was the one who did Chesed for the world. So he said, Eliezer said, the one that comes into Avraham's house, she must be someone who's a Gemel Chasodim. Gemel es Chesed. If not, then she's not fit for my master's house or my master's son. Now, if you notice, he didn't merely test her and say, I'll ask her if you'll give me some water, and if she'll say yes, then it's good. He said two things. Firstly, I'll ask her if she'll give me some water. And if she says yes, and if she says, Gam gemalecha ashke, I will also give drink to your camels, then I know this is the one for my master's house, this is the one for my servant. For my master's son. Now why? Why did he test her with two things? The answer is if he would ask her for water and she would say yes, that's chesed, but that's not chesed gomor. That's not perfect chesed. Why? Chesed is the opposite of din. Din is what you must do. Chesed is when you do more than you must do. This is what the Gemara tells us. There is din, and nimishur is adin. Din is what is required of you. Lifnim ishur sadin is when you do more than is required of you. For example, the Gemara says, if you find something that belongs to Reuven, you have to give it back to him. That's din. That's mishpat. That's law. What happens if you find something that belongs to Reuven, but Reuven already has given up hope over it a long time ago? He never thought he'd get it back. And in such a situation, the halach is, the law is, you don't have to give it back to him. So Deen says you don't have to give it back to him. But Chesed says you should give it back to him. If you give it back to him, that's lifnim mishur ha-deen. You're going beyond the halacha. This is what Chesed is. And for example, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world with Deen and Mishpat. Wanted to create the world in accordance to pure justice and pure law and order. But then he saw the world would never survive. That means that if something, someone does something good, he receives reward. The minute he does something bad, finished. See? He saw the world won't survive. So shitavimei midas hachesed. Therefore, he brought in chesed also. So the yesod, the cornerstone of chesed, is when a person does what is not demanded. When a person does beyond duty. Eliezer held like this. If I'll ask her, please give me some water, and she'll say yes, that's chesed. She doesn't have to give me water, I'm a stranger. But that has a little din mixed into it. Why? Because she wants to comply to my request. Why is she doing it? She's not only doing it because she wants to do good for me. She wants to comply to my request. You ask something from someone and they want to comply. So it's a chesed, but it's not a complete chesed. But if she'll say, you drink the gam gamalecho, and also your camels I will give water to, and that she was never asked for, that's chesed. That's chesed gomor. There she's doing something that not only she didn't have to, but nobody even asked her for it. That's chesed. And that's the meat of Abraham. Now this tells us a very great yesod, a very great principle of what chesed is. Abraham didn't do good for others because they asked him to do good for others. Or because the others asked him for it. Abraham didn't do good for others because the law required it. Abraham did good for others because he wanted to do good for others. He was right, said, Leheiti vim abriyais. He wanted to do good. In other words, the motivation, the machayev, did not come from the exterior, it came from the interior. And this we see. We see this in Gashmis and Ruchnias. We see this in the Ruchnius, in spiritual matters. Because once Avraham realized that there was a God in the world, he went and he challenged the whole world to teach the world about Chesed. Now, who asked Avraham to go teach the world about Hashem? And this is the difference between Avraham and Noach and the rest. The others didn't have an influence on the world. They had an influence on themselves. They were able to save themselves. But Avraham went and he wanted to tell everybody about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everybody about his ways. No, nobody asked him to. And nobody demanded it from him. But Avraham wanted to do good for others. And we see this in physical matters also. We just had it. In Vayedo, in the last week's Sedra, it states, V'hu yeshev Pesach ha'el kechem hayom. He was sitting at the doorway of the tent in the heat of the day. What was he sitting there for? Lirais im yesh eva v'shov lach nisam b'beisei. He was trying to see if there are any travelers, he'll bring them into his house. If somebody comes to your house, you open the door. But you have to go and watch, perhaps there's someone on the road, and you'll go run to them and tell them to come in. When Avraham saw someone, so it says, Rots, he ran. What do we see? Somebody comes to your house and needs something, alright, you give it to him, that's chesed, but it's not chesed gomor. It's not the level of chesed of Avraham. The level of chesed of Avraham is where he went to look for the people. He was sitting looking for the people. And when he saw someone, he ran to them. This is what Shlomo HaMelech wrote. Shlomo HaMelech wrote in Keheles, Reidev stoka v'chesed, Yimotze chaim stoka v'kovet. Reidev stoka v'chesed, what does it mean, Reidev stoka v'chesed? He who pursues stoka v'chesed, that's the meaning of stoka v'chesed. We once mentioned that in the Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, the Gemara says, Gimel Dalet, that refers to Gomel Dalim. Say, Gomel Dalim, he who helps the poor. Why is the Gimel facing the Dalet? Because those who have the midah of Tzedakah v'Chesed, they chase the poor to help them. Not that they give to the poor when the poor comes and asks for it. They look for the poor, and they look for the needy and able to do for them. That's the need of chesed. And that was Abraham. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech said, Reidev tztoka v'chesed. The level of tztoka and chesed is he who pursues it, who looks for good to do. We once gave an example that you see this quality. Kosh Baruch Hu gave in the quality of motherhood. A woman wants a baby in order to be able to take care of it. We can understand that if there is a child and he needs caring, you'll take care of it. But if there's no child, why does the woman want the baby in order to take care of it? That's the power of chesed. Not that she does good because there's someone demanding the good. Because internally there is the power there. Lehetiv im abriyas, to do good for others. This was the meat of Abraham. And therefore Eliezer said, I'll test Rivka. First I'll ask her, will you give me water? If she says yes, that's good, but not good enough. If she says, Gam gam alech lashker, not only will I give you water, but I'll give you camel's water also, then, hechachto, from here we'll know she's ruya, she's befitting to come into the house of Yitzchok. Incidentally, it wasn't a small thing that she did, because she was a very young girl then. It's a question, some say she was 3 years old, some say I believe she was 13 years old. But she was a very young girl. And to water 10 camels, incidentally, the Gurai asks, what happened to the 10 men? We're talking here of Eliezer and the 10 camels. What about the 10 men? So he says that was included in the camels. When she said, I'll give to the camels, it means to the camel drivers also. but to load up water, see, to go and bring water for 10 camels. That's a tremendous amount of water. Once I once heard from Rabbi Victor Miller, where he writes, but he makes a calculation how much water a camel can drink and how much water that was. And it's a tremendous, tremendous amount of water, because a camel can go days without water. See? There's only one thing, though, one little observation I have to make on that calculation, is that Eliezer later on tells the people that he had kfitzas aderech, that he crossed the desert miraculously. I believe it was a 10-day journey. He did it in one day. So actually, the camels might not have been that dry, but nevertheless, it was a tremendous undertaking. So this is what he tested her with this. Now the Torah tells us. Before he finished speaking, he was speaking to Hashem, Rivka came, and she was from this family, and he didn't know this at this time. She came and she had a jug on her shoulder. And the young girl was very, very beautiful. All the Imos were very beautiful. By Rivka, by Rochel, it says that she was very beautiful. Yifei Mare. And by Sora, Avraham, when he went down to Egypt, he says, "You're a beautiful woman." And when the Egyptians saw her, says that they saw her, they said, "Vayiru amitzri mesisho ki yofa himi od," that she was very, very beautiful, and they felt that she was real amalchus. She's fit to be a queen, and they took her right away to Pare. Vayorot so evenly crossed, and the Evid ran to meet her, and immediately he told her, "Hagmini no miat mai mikadech," give me some of the water from your jug. Now here there's a question. The first condition was is that she was supposed to be from the family of Abraham. He didn't know what family she was from. Only later on does he ask her, "Bayim basmiat," tell me who, what, you're the daughter of who? So why does it say Vayora to Eved that he ran and immediately tested her? Just because he saw a beautiful girl coming. Why is he going and giving her this test? The first prerequisite was that she must be from the family of Avraham. So Rashi tells us, and it's in the Medrash, he saw something. He saw that the water went up to meet her. When she came to the well, the water came up. This is a Medrash. And the Medrash states Zu kiven shiyode lamalis olu hamayim likrosu. When everyone went to the well, they had to go down to bring the water up. But when she came to the well, the water came up to meet her. But the man says, how do we know this? Because it states, she came to the well, but mali, and she filled up her jug. It does not say vatishov. It doesn't say she drew the water and filled up the jug. Merely she filled up the jug. The water came up by itself. Now, when Eliezer saw this, so what did this make him think? Right away he realized that this is someone from Avraham's household. Why? Because this was a midah, this was a quality which he saw by Avraham. Where do we find this by Avraham? In Parshas Vayera, Chof Aleph, Lamed Aleph. When Avraham's shepherds and the shepherds of Abimelech were fighting with each other over the wells. So it's Pasuk Lamed. So Avraham said, by Be'er Sheva, Bavuti Eli Le'edo Ki Chafalti Asaber Azeis, that this is a testimony that I dug this well. Merivim Hoyu Aleo Re Avimelech Ve'Emrim, Anachnu Chafamu. Omru B'neim Kol Mishi Yisrael Abev Yalu Amayim Nikrosei Shelehu, Ve'ol Adikas Avraham. They were fighting over the well as to who dug it. So the shepherds finally said that whoever walks up to the well and the water will come out to meet him, that'll prove who dug the well. So when Avraham walked to the well, the water came out to meet him. And that's what it states. Ki chofati, this is a edus, tiele edo, this will be a testimony that I dug this well. So we see that this was a quality by Avraham. And when Eliezer saw this, he recognized the miracle from the house of Avraham, so he knew this must be the one. Therefore, he didn't even ask first. He just ran right over to give her this test. Incidentally, this is a quality that we find by the others. We find it by Avraham, as mentioned. We find it by Yaakov. Where do we see it by Yaakov? In Parshas Vayigash. Mem Zayin Yud. When Yaakov came down to Egypt to reunite himself with Yosef, and Yosef took Yaakov to meet Paray. Vayevorech Yaakov es Paray vayetzim lifnei Paray. And Yaakov blessed Paray. What did he bless him with? He gave him this brocha. Lefi she'ein eretz borchu she'yalu nilus laraglov. He gave him a brocha that the Nile River, whenever Paray would go near it, the Nile River would come up to meet him. And this was a tremendous brach in Egypt. Because there's no rain in Egypt. It's irrigated entirely through the Nilus, through the Nile River. The Nile River would overflow its banks, and there was a system of canals that went through the entire land, and this is how it was irrigated. So this was a tremendous parah. So once Yaakov gave him this bracha, Paray was able to walk up to the Nile River anytime they needed water, and it would overflow into all of the canals of Egypt, and it would water the land. And this is why, at the end of Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov died, in Parshas Nun, Posu Gimel, it states, Vayimlu loy arboim yoim ki kein imlu yimea chanutim vayivko yisei mitzrayim shivim yoim. That they embalmed Yaakov, and Egypt wept for Yaakov for 70 days. Why did Egypt weep for Yaakov? So Rashi tells us, because lefisha bolehem brocha leragle shekol arov ohyamei nilus mizborchim. They wept for Yaakov because when Yaakov came, that's when the brocha came to the Nile River, and they realized this, and so therefore they wept for Yaakov. We find this also by Moshe in Parsha Shemos. When Moshe came to the well after he fled Egypt, and there he helped the daughters of Yisro, he helped them stave off the shepherds, and he drew water for them. So they came home and they said, Vatomani ish mitzri hitzalonim yadarayim. This is in Shemesh Beis, Posuk Yutes and Chof. An Egyptian saved us from the shepherds. Begam dole dole lonam ayashkes atzayin. He drew water for us, and he watered our sheep. Vayemel b'neisav, and Yisro said to his daughters, Vayoy, where is he? Lom azeh azavten eso ish. Why did you leave this man there? Kiren lei v'yechalochim. Call him here so he can eat bread with us. Why was Yisro so interested in having this man come? He kirbeishu mizareshul Yaakov. Yisro was a very wise man, and he knew that this was from the seed of Yaakov. Why? Because they told him, the daughters told Yisrei, Shamayim Elim Likrosi, when he went to the well, the water came up to meet him. So we see that this was a quality by the Ovish. And the reason is a very deep reason. It's difficult for us to understand, but the Ovish had such a power of brocha. And a brocha always works at the source. The whole concept of brocha is that the source of all brocha, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should bring brocha into the world. See, brocha is ribui. Brocha means the growth of something. And therefore, when they would come near a well, so the source would be Mizborach. The source of the well would be blessed. And if the source is blessed, it would overflow. This is why the waters always went up to meet them. This was their baruch. So therefore, when Eliezer saw this, he ran immediately. And he ran to her, and he gave her this test. She succeeded with the test. And give me a little water, please, from your jug. She said, drink, my lord. And she immediately took her jug down and brought her jug down and she gave him to drink. And when he finished to drink, and she said, I will also give to your camels to drink. So she drew water for the camels until they finished. And then, so he was wondrous when he saw this. And he was wondering if he was successful or not, because he still had to find out if she's from the right family. He came and he took jewelry. He had brought jewelry for her. He gave her the jewelry and he said, who are you the daughter of? Really, the Chazal say he shouldn't have given her the jewelry first. He should have first asked who you're the daughter of. And when he retold the story over to the family, he told them that way because he was afraid they would ask him, why did you give the jewelry to a girl you didn't even know who she was from? But he was so certain, he gave her the jewelry. Then he said, who are you the daughter of? And she said, Bas Besuel Anechi Ben Milka Sheyolda Lenochor. She's the daughter of Besuel, who was Bas Besuel Anechi, who was the son of Milka, which was born to Nahor. She doesn't mention her mother's name. She's the daughter of Besuel, who was born to Milka. That was her grandmother, who was the wife of Nahor, her grandfather. She doesn't mention her mother's name. Once an old Jew once asked me, what was Rivka's mother's name? I don't know. Couldn't answer it. Then now he gave her these gifts. He gave her a gold ring, which was a beka mishkole, which was a machzisa shekel, the weight in gold of a half a shekel. He gave her two bracelets for her hands, and these bracelets were twined together, and they were 10 shekels of gold. So Rashi here comments, he brings from the Chazal. So what did he give her a half a shekel for? A half a shekel is not that much. 10 shekels, that's a very nice gift, 10 shekels of gold. But a half a shekel is not that much. So he had given her these gifts to represent three principles. One is the Bekas is Remes Lashikin Yisrael Beke Lagogolis. That would represent the sacrifices in Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael, when they were in the desert, they were called on each one to give a half a shekel. And from this half a shekelim, the Mishkan was built. And sacrifices were brought. And this became a mitzvah every year, to give a half a shekel for the sacrifices. That's why he gave her the ring, which was a half a shekel. Then he gave her the two intertwined bracelets. This was a remes to the two Luchai Sabris, the two tablets, which were joined together, which would be given to her children on Har Sinai. And then Asorazov, that was 10, the weight of 10 shkolim of gold. This represented the 10 commandments which would be written on the two tablets. Why did he do this? So this the Gorai explains here, and in the Mishnah Vavas, Al Gimel Dvorim Ha'ilim Ha'ilim. Because the family of Avraham, this was the binyan, like we mentioned, the house of Israel, where Israel was to come from, they were going to have three pillars, the three pillars on which the world stands. The world stands on the pillar of Chesed, Al Avoda, the pillar of sacrifices and service in the Beis HaMikdash, Val HaTorah, and the pillar of Torah. Avraham was the pillar of Chesed. Yitzchok was the pillar of Avoda, because he became the sacrifice to Ola Tamim, as we mentioned. And Yaakov became Torah. It says Yaakov was Yeshiv Olim, Ish Tam, he was Tam perfect, Torah Hashem Tamima, Torah is perfect. And Yeshiv Olim, that he sat and dwelled in the tents of Torah. And all three together merged to create this perfection, and this was the house of Israel. So first Eliezer told her that you're going to come into a house that will have these three pillars. Now the pillar of Chesed I see you already have, because you've passed with such flying colors this test on Chesed. So therefore, Chesed you have. But now I'm giving you this jewelry to represent the other pillars. The pillar of Avoda, that was the half a shekel which represented the sacrifices. And the pillar of Torah, that was the two bracelets which represented the Ten Commandments, the two tablets and the Ten Commandments. And then he wanted to give her something else also to represent. That you have said, your husband to be Yitzchok, he will be Avoda. From you too, from the power of your power of Chesed and his power of Avoda, of sacrifice, of service in the Beis HaMikdash, will come forth a higher level. And that will be the level of Torah Tamima, of Torah in its perfection. From you too will come the greatest son, and that will be Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was the Bechir Shabomas, he was the perfection of the Omas. So therefore you are Chesed, and I will give you something to represent Avoda, and from this will come Torah. This is all that Eliezer was telling Rivka as he was giving it to her. The hour is getting late, so we won't be able to conclude the entire story this evening. But one final remark, and that is the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Sefer Avos Chesed that we see the greatness of the mitzvah of Chesed, and in particular the mitzvah of Achnosas Orchim, which we spoke on last week. Because this was not only Chesed, but this was the Chesed of Achnosas Orchim, of welcoming a traveler. Eliezer was a traveler. And he says, you see how far reaching the reward is. Because Rivka excelled in the mitzvah of Achnosas Orchim, what did this bring her? Had she not, then Eliezer would have left her. And she would have been left in Aram Naraim, in the house of Nochor. Because she excelled in the mitzvah, she was zeicher to become the wife of Yitzchok, to enter into the house of Avraham, to have the son Yaakov, and that from her should come the entire seed of Klal Yisrael that would stand at Har Sinai to receive the Torah. This all came from the mitzvah of Achnosas Orchim. When it's done, he said, the Leif Sholem, with a complete heart like she did. So from here we see how great the mitzvah of Chesed is, and how great what the Gemara says, Godel Achnosas Orchim, that it's even greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Ashkin, even than speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are some of the observations that we can make on this parsha, and we should be zeicher to see, to learn from this parsha, and to bring it into our lives, and we should be zeicher to simchas, simchas of such chasanas.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.